And as they're going, if you would, open your Bible with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. You'll find that in the pew Bible there in front of you on page 78. I'm taking a break from our series on Mark today. Exodus chapter 20. That song that Caitlin just sang is an excellent prayer for us right now as we open God's Word together. It's true. Maybe if you're new, it's true that God is everywhere, always. He's omnipresent. So when we're aware of His presence, it helps us to be aware of our call to live for His glory. And wherever we go, there He is. So we should live for His glory always. If you're here as a believer this morning in a special way, God is with you always. He has said to us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. So He's with you always. So as we step outside these walls and we go throughout our week, we go with the presence of God with us, and we go living for His glory, just as she just sang about Him, prayed even through that song. And then here today, especially, the Word tells us that where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is with us. And we gather together under the name of Jesus. So we know in a special way God's with us this morning. And we need that as we open His Word. So would you bow with me and let's ask Him to bless this time. Lord, just as we sang, just as Caitlin sang, and let us... Spirit, You're welcome here. We know You're here with us. Your Word promises that. You're in us as believers. You're here with us as we gather together. And so, God, we're here to honor You. We're here to magnify You. And Lord, we're here to hear from You. We do that as we open Your Word together. Your Word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces deep in us, and we need that. Lord, we need that. So, God, we ask that as we look at this passage together today, as we consider other passages, we think about what Your Word is teaching us, these principles from it, and how we should live differently through Your Word. God, speak to us today, and then transform us by Your Word. Help us to live different as a result. Help us to honor You and to live for Your glory in everything we do. May we magnify You, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It was said that communities and even families were torn apart in the Civil War, especially for border states and border communities. That was certainly true. Brother fought against brother at times. Neighbor fought against neighbor. And in the years following the war in those border states and in those border communities, there was a lot of work to do to bring about reconciliation within these families and within these communities, and it was out of that work that Mother's Day was born. Anna Reeves Jarvis lived in Grafton, West Virginia, and she gave her time during the war to organize women to nurse soldiers from both the North and the South, to bring them back to health primarily, but also to help bring about peace within this community as these ladies were working together in that border town. In the years following the Civil War, she began what she called Mother's Friendship Days to reconcile families that had been divided because of the war. Throughout her life, Miss Jarvis modeled this kind of commitment to God and commitment to family and commitment to community. She faithfully taught Sunday school for 20 years in her local church. She cared for an aging husband. She raised four children, and they say that she bore with grace the loss of seven other children. She stayed active in benevolent work in her community during all of this. And after her death in 1905, her daughter, Ann Jarvis, was devastated. Ann was not a mother herself, but she recognized that mothers, and particularly her mother, but mothers in general, were not honored or thanked enough for all that they do for their families, for their community. And so she began building consensus for a day to celebrate mothers, a day simply called Mother's Day. Her idea was not the commercial day that we have today. It was really the ideal that we all think about for this day. It was a day for children to return back to their families and to their mothers, for children to thank their mothers and to honor their mothers for all that they've done. In 1908, Mother's Day was first celebrated in Grafton, West Virginia, and in Philadelphia, where Anne lived and worked as an adult. And after a successful letter-writing campaign, President Woodrow Wilson in 1914 officially established a National Mother's Day to be held the second Sunday in May. It's right. It's right for us to honor our mothers. It's right for us to honor our parents. It's right because there's something about honoring mothers. There's something about honoring mothers and fathers that's honoring to God. And if that's true, parents, if that's true, then there's a significant responsibility that mothers and fathers have for showing their children things that are true about God and about who He is by their lives. And these truths and more we find in the fifth commandment. And so this morning we want to spend just a few minutes together. And we want to invite you, I wanted to invite you to consider five reflections on the fifth commandment we'll work through together this morning. Let's read it together. We'll put it on the screen for you. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The fifth commandment. The commandments were given, of course, by Moses to the people as they left the land. They left Egypt and they were getting ready to go into the promised land. God had delivered them. God had saved them. This had all already happened. God had already brought about salvation. Verse 2 of chapter 20 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then he says, you'll have no other gods before me. God had already brought salvation, and because of this salvation, now they're to live in a way that honors God, and He gives them that. He spells that out. He puts that together here in these ten commandments. And in this fifth commandment, the commandments, you can think of them as split into two tables. The first four commandments are about us before God, and the second six commandments are about us before others. And this first of that second group, honor your father and your mother. Now, honor your father and your mother, and five simple reflections on that this morning. Number one, family is from God. Family is from God. It is a gift of His grace to us. Ideas have consequences. Ideas have consequences. If family is simply a chance evolutionary occurrence, as some would have us believe, then at some point as a society, we should evolve beyond families. If family is just a process of evolution, it's just a step and a stage where we are right now, then at some point we should evolve beyond that. And so if family is just from evolution, then families really have no value. Mother's Day is really just a sham if as humanity we should be evolving forward beyond where we are now. But family is not a chance evolutionary occurrence. Family is a gift from God to us. It's His grace to us. We see that all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we've covered this recently on Sunday nights. In Genesis 2, 24, God has created Adam. And He's made everything and said everything is good. Everything is very good. And He has Adam. And then He says it's not good. It's not good that man be alone. He brings before Adam every living creature, and Adam names them, and Adam sees here there's not a helper fit for him. And so God creates Eve out of Adam's rib and fashions her just for Adam. And just after that, in Genesis 2:24, He says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And way back in the beginning, in the garden, before sin entered the world, we see this gift of family. We see it in Adam and Eve, and we see it as we progress through the book of Genesis, then in Abraham, and ultimately even when God brings about the nation of Israel, even within that nation and that people as a whole, God has a special significance and a special place still for families. And we see that here in Exodus 20, verse 12, when He tells us to honor your father and your mother, pointing us back to our families. Family is a gift of God. It's His grace to us. And so, therefore, number two, honoring family and particularly parents, is honoring to God. Now, honoring family and particularly honoring parents is honoring to God. And so husbands, test this. Let's say, husbands, that your wife is out this week. You've just given her the best Mother's Day gift ever. And your wife goes out this week and she thinks of the most thoughtful gift that she could possibly give you. And so she plans and she works and she saves and she keeps this incredible gift a secret from you. And of course, she keeps it a secret from her kids too, because they run their mouth. So she keeps it a secret from everyone, and she's getting ready. And as Father's Day gets close, she goes to her kids and she starts to let them in on the secret. She's building everyone's excitement. She's kind of dropping these hints to you about this incredible gift she has for you come Father's Day morning. And she's so proud. She's so proud on that Father's Day Sunday morning before you get ready to come to church as the kids bring this gift to you. She's beaming as you begin to unwrap this present. And imagine her response when you look at the gift, and as you lean down to pick up the remote to turn on the news, you say, "Thanks, guys," and just leave it at that. How honoring is it to your wife when you don't honor the gift that she gives? We honor the giver of gifts by recognizing and honoring the significance of the gifts that He gives us. And family and parents is an incredible gift. He's given us this gift of family. He's given us the gift of parents. And we honor God by honoring this gift. And just as importantly, we honor God by obeying His Word. And here, very simply, He commands us what we all know: honor thy father and thy mother. It's a command that's underscored by Jesus in the New Testament. Paul repeats this command for us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, again in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. We honor God by honoring and obeying His commandments. And so we honor God by honoring our parents. And honoring God from the heart is the most important thing in life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God." So we honor God. We honor God by honoring this gift, by honoring parents to us. So far, everything is just check it off. We've had this at VBS when we were growing up. We've heard this commandment. We've memorized this commandment. And our students, we've worked through commandments a few years ago. And you guys remember the fifth commandment: honor your father and mother. We learned it with hand signals. And the fifth commandment was this hand signal here: honor your father and mother lest they smack you, right? Yeah. And so far, these guys know the fifth commandment. So far, everything we're hearing is true. And we hear this commandment and we think, well, this is for kids. Well, reflection number three: this commandment is for adults. This commandment is for adults. Now, don't get me wrong, students. Students and kids who are still in here with us, this is for you guys as well. Like, you're not getting an easy pass, so because of number three up here, you can't just say, well, never mind. No, this is for you too. The command here isn't simply to obey your parents, guys. The command is to honor your parents. The command is to honor your parents. Now, honor includes obedience, but it's more than obedience. So, students, let's say that just a story to help us think through this. A parent, say she has twin sons and they're seniors in high school. We'll call them Alex and Andy. And she goes to Alex and Andy and she says to these two guys, "Now guys, tonight after the ball game, I know everybody's going to Johnny's house, but guys, I don't want you to go to Johnny's house tonight after the game. You don't need to go to Johnny's house. It's not a wise decision for you to make. Everybody knows what goes on at Johnny's house after the game. So guys, I don't think it's a wise decision for you to go there. But you're 18 now, and I think you need to start making decisions on your own. So I want you to hear me. It's not a wise decision, but I'm going to let you make that choice. But either way, you have to be home by 12. So at the game, Alex goes to Andy when they get there, and he says, "Man, Mom, she's crazy. Everybody's going to be there. I don't really care what she says." And Alex, after the game, he goes to Johnny's house, and he comes home by 12, just as she said. Andy, after the game, he thinks through what his mom says, and he instead goes out to eat with a few buddies, and he comes home, and he gets home by 12, just as she said. Now, which kids obeyed their parent? Well, both of them did. Both of them obeyed what she said, be home by 12. They obeyed the commands that she gave, guys, right? But which kid, guys, which kid honored their mother? Right? The one who took her advice and considered what she said. Honor includes obedience, but it's more than obedience. Now, honor in this verse here, honor your father and mother, it comes from the same root word that we get the word glory from. And this same word is translated as glorify in the Old Testament when it's in reference to God. It's a word that means weighty or heavy. And so it's you could kind of think of it like a scale here. It's the weight and the importance that we put. Everybody else is doing it versus mom and dad say, and there should be a little bit more here. It's recognizing the weight and the significance. It's treating someone with respect and the respect that they're due because of who they are. It's realizing their importance and their special significance in your life. So guys, honor your parents. Right? Honor your parents. Treat them with special respect. That's something we're called to do. It's something you guys are called to do as teenagers. But that's something all of us are called to do, even as adults. It's a command for adults as well. Laura Bush told the story of when she and George went back to see his parents, the first President George Bush and his wife Barbara. And she says that George W. Bush woke up in the morning at 6 a.m. just as he normally does, and he went downstairs and grabbed a cup of coffee and sat on the couch beside his parents and began to talk with them. And while they were talking, he just propped his feet up on the coffee table there. And after just a moment, Barbara looks over and yells at him, "Put your feet down, George." And the first President Bush says, "For goodness sake, Barbara, he's the President of the United States of America." Barbara said, "I don't care. I don't want his feet on my table." George W. Bush promptly did as he was told. And Laura Bush said, even presidents have to listen to their mothers. Right? This command is for adults as well. It would be odd in the middle of these Ten Commandments. It would be odd if this commandment alone was primarily and only meant for children while all the others was in reference to adults. It would be odd if this one was singled out in that way without any signification towards it. This is a commandment for all of us. It applies to adults in that this commandment is the ground for honoring all legitimate authority in our lives. Broadly applied, that's where this commandment takes us. In the New Testament, we see that we're told to honor all the governing authorities. In the New Testament, we see that we're told to honor our leaders. In the New Testament, we're even told to honor everyone. And ultimately, all of those things are the sign of a heart that honors God. Right? This commandment, then, is the training ground for this. This commandment, honor your father and mother, is a training ground for this in the home, learning to honor your parents. And so it applies to adults in that it specifically applies to parents, and it specifically applies to grandparents and even our whole covenant community in training our children. Training our children. Parents must instruct their kids to keep the commandments. Look over with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you would. You can flip to the right to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 comes on the heels of the retelling and restating of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. As the people are getting ready finally, they're there, they're ready to go into the land at last. After all of these times, Moses is retelling important instructions for the people before they go, and he gives the Ten Commandments again in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and right on the heels of that, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Verse 7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." We are to raise our children in this environment of knowing the words and the wisdom of God. This is our job as parents. This is our job as grandparents. This is our job as a church to partner in this. This is what we just saw, what we just said in this commissioning service. As members of Mountain Creek, we're promising to other families here in this church that we're going to join with them in this process. We're going to partner with them and walk alongside them, help them to do this with their children. Training children. Training children to honor their parents is training them to honor God. Training children to honor their parents is training them to honor God. Children won't learn to honor God who they cannot see if they don't first learn to honor their parents who they can see. So we train our kids to honor authority, just as God says, and that's leading our hearts, it's growing their hearts to honor God. So there is an extremely high priority on honoring parents, because there is an extremely high priority on honoring God in everything. Honoring God is the most important thing in life, which leads us to number four. No one honors God perfectly. That's why He laid down His life for us. Honoring God is the most important thing in life. No one honors God perfectly. That's why He laid down His life for us. He laid down His life and not only to show us what love looks like. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, and he who lays down his life for his friends. He did that not just as a demonstration of the greatest love known to man, but also to provide for us what we most desperately need. When you dishonor God, you're committing treason against the infinite creator of the universe. Your one sin, Eve's one sin, is worthy of an infinite punishment. It's worthy of death. The Scripture is clear, the wages of our sin is death, and none of us honor God perfectly. But when Jesus laid down His life for us, He did for us what we most desperately needed, as God took the place of man. And God took that death that you deserve. He died in your place. He took the punishment and the penalty that was due to you. He took that on Him so that you could be forgiven and you could be righteous and you could be free. And this is the gospel. And the gospel is the grounds of our honoring Him. And so we don't obey and honor God simply by gritting our teeth and saying we're going to do it. We obey and honor God out of a heart of response for what He's done for us in Jesus. Christians, this is our call. We honor Him because He laid down His life for us. And non-Christians in this room, He laid down His life for you as well. This morning, you should consider that. I want to even just right now and just stop for just a minute and invite you even now to respond to that. You see, we all have a choice to make. Will we receive this gift that He's given us, or will we reject it? There's no middle ground. Right now, God is asking you, non-Christian, to respond. To receive what Jesus did in laying down His life for you, to confess your sin and ask Him to forgive you, to put your faith in Him and in Him alone. You can do that while I'm talking. You don't have to come down an aisle to be saved. You can do that in your seat. You can pray right now and confess. If you have questions about that, I'm here for you. Toby's here for you. Our deacons, our leaders, we're here for you. We want to talk with you about that. I'd invite you to find me after the service, to give us a call, to shoot me an email. I'd love to sit down and talk with you. I'll talk with you today. I'd love to talk with you about this decision, but this is the most important decision in your life. The truth is, you don't honor God perfectly, and the truth is, Jesus gave His life for you to forgive you and give you life. Number five, and finally, parents. Jesus laid down His life for us, and parents, this means that we must lay down our lives for the good of our children. Parents and grandparents, we must lay down our lives for the good of our children. Jesus' principle is consistently to love one another just as I loved you. He loved us by laying down His life for us. So parents, we should lay down our lives. We should love our children by laying down our lives for the good of our children. This doesn't mean that we bow to every whim and fancy that they have. This means that we're committed to doing what is for their good as defined by God. We're committed to doing that for them, even at great cost to ourselves. We train them to honor us as parents because we want them to honor God. We point them in the direction of the gospel. We teach them the scriptures. We help them grow in the community of faith so that they're growing in the fear of God. We make sacrifices just as Jesus sacrificed for us. And we do these things to shepherd their heart towards God. Parents, we must lay down our lives for the good of our children as we train them to honor us and train them to honor God most importantly. Would you bow with me as we pray?